Welcome to taking the rams by the horns, a cast that takes current affairs out of current affairs. This is a podcast in partnership with Sowetan Live. I'm your host, Rems Mabote. South Africa is alive with possibilities. I mean, who would have imagined a former president in jail, a sitting president sleeping on cash, literally, a cabinet minister visiting a common prisoner in jail, or even the post office operating even when they have nothing to do?
Can you confirm that delivery performances drop?
Welcome to the new Sowetan Live podcast called Taking the Rams by the Horns with me, Rems Mabote. Each week, I will be taking a lighter look at very serious topics that half the time drive you up the wall. This podcast will use humor to take no prisoners, have no holy cows, and cook a whole lot of sacrificial lambs. When South Africa found its freedom in 1994, the city of Johannesburg was buzzing with hope and promise. The central business district was the place to be. But disaster was just around the corner, because soon the CBD was a place to be for everyone but the citizens of the city. By the turn of the century, Joburg had gone to the dogs, actually to the rats. The skyscrapers that used to decorate the city's skyline were now havens of crime and grime. The rich fled up north to Sandton, close to Alexandra, but far enough from its rats. Joburg was never to be the same again. Today, you probably need an AU passport to go into the city. When the history books of the city of Johannesburg are written again, they will show the years between 2022 and 2024 were probably the hardest. Despite its wealth in minerals and rats, Joburg could not hold its ish together. At the time of recording this podcast, which was yesterday, Joburg was on its eighth mayor. I do not know when exactly you are listening to this podcast, and therefore I cannot guarantee that we will still be on number eight. The City of Johannesburg Metropolitan Council has had an orgy of elections, recalling off, and votes of no confidence on mayors in the last 2 years. It is easier to remember who scored the last goal for Kaizer Chiefs than to remember who was the fourth mayor after, say, Herman Mashaba. To clean up the mess that Joburg is in, you need more than a miracle and a prayer. Oh, Mashaba's Arisebetse. Arisebetse! But according to the latest mayor, the one who was in office yesterday, all you need is a conglomeration of multilingual foreign nationals who can eavesdrop on their compatriots as they plan to commit more crime. Dara Morero believes Joburg must be turned into a Tower of Babel. To think this is his second stint as mayor, imagine what he'll conjure up for his third. Maybe that Johannesburg host a skiing Olympics. Let us recap. Morero, clearly a man not short on ideas, that is, suggested at the ANC Lekgotla that the city must recruit foreign nationals to help deal with the rampant crime that has held back the city from reaching its true potential.
Comrade Chair, Deputy Chair, I always ask this question. That none of our police men and women in uniform can speak any of the foreign African languages. And the challenge is for us to deal with crime. And you can have all your suspects here. Before they write their statements, they can plan what they are going to say in front of you without you even hearing what they are saying. It might be a culture shock to suggest to this REC that if we are serious about fighting crime in Ward 67, we have no option. But those that are properly documented with proper documents can be recruited to the Johannesburg Metro Police Department.
Muraro was craving to save Johannesburg, but to do so, he came up with a strategy foreign to us, literally. But I guess he was motivated by the age-old, tried and tested English adage, if you can't beat them, join them. From his party's old philosophy of quiet diplomacy, the Honorable Mayor was introducing criminal diplomacy. Now, I have not heard how Morero envisages how this strategy is going to work, mostly because you lot did not give him a chance to elaborate and instead pushed him to withdraw and apologize. But let's put ourselves in his small shoes and imagine a few ways he was seeing this playing out. First question is, from which countries was he looking to recruit his battalions? It is common knowledge that the only people you will not find in South Africa are Namibians. There is nothing for them here unless they go to Orania, where at least they will be able to speak Afrikaans. It is possible that most of North Africa is also not represented here. Although I'm sure I have seen an Egyptian or two riding an Uber in Cape Town. Logically, I don't think we need to recruit from Zimbabwe. No doubt there are more Zimbabweans in Johannesburg alone than there are in the city of Harare. So for this one, we can do a domestic recruitment for foreign intelligence. The same with Nigeria. Even after they claimed Chidinma Adetshina from us, after we rejected her with our own hate, there are still enough of them in Johannesburg to protect our streets from themselves. But that does not matter. What matters is how was it going to work? Would you have different charge offices depending on the language you speak or depending on the language of the suspects? For example, let us say, I had strayed into Royal Hotel one Friday afternoon after payday and I was robbed, whether by the ladies themselves or any of the patrons. Do I, when I get to the police station, one, ask for an officer who will understand what those who emptied my wallet were saying? Or two, do I report the matter and then the station commander deploys his foreign legend to Royal Hotel to go and question everyone in their home language until they find out who swindled me of my hard-earned money?
Can you make quick, please? I need to
no,
go for a meeting.
I'm not working for you.
You are working for me.
I'm working. In which way I'm working for you?
I'm rushing for a meeting. Can you do what
in
you're supposed to do?
Which way I'm working for you?
I pay your salaries.
How?
I pay tax.
I pay tax. Then my salary pay, my tax pay who?
Huh?
And then my tax pays who? Your maid.
That's what you think. That's what you think.
And when it comes to roadblocks, that specialty of the JMPD, will motorists be stopped and apportioned to an officer according to their nationality as reflected on their passports? That is not as simple as that. Because, for example, you could stop a Congolese motorist and refer them to a Congolese JMPD officer, only to find out that the two come from the warring factions back home and won't talk to one another. Same with the Sudanese and the South Sudanese. Also, what happens if the JMPD stop a gay Ugandan who fled their country to escape homosexual hate, only to send them to an officer who subscribed to President Yoweri Museveni's hate of the LGBTQI plus community. Poor Dada Morero thought he had found a magic potion almost overnight. He was going to be the best mayor Joburg needed second time around. What is it about politicians that make them think that they have answers to things that they themselves do not understand? Why is it that we still believe in them? And so, in a brief while on Saturday, our beacon of hope was proven to be short on logic, as he is on height. His own party was livid at the suggestion. The party's provincial chairman and Gauteng premier took to social media and rejected the idea. What does Dada mean that Nasi Spani must now go to foreigners? Banyaza Lesufi thought to himself. It was bad enough that the first Nasi Spani made of locals did not translate into votes for the party. Imagine taking the last budget of the city, bribes and all, and hand it over to foreigners.
Upon further reflection, I have come to the conclusion that my suggestion was not consistent with the policies of the ANC and policies of government. I therefore unconditionally withdraw my proposal and apologize for the anxiety it might have caused to the residents of Johannesburg and the people of South Africa as a whole.
And thus, poor Dada, hardly 2 weeks back in office, had moved from making a huge announcement to being forced to withdraw and apologize the next day. He was, in a manner of speaking, reduced to size.
The former president of Nigeria to make a few comments.
I am not that short as you think I am.
There is a lesson here for Dada Morero. He should have taken notes from his predecessor, Kabelo Kwamanda, who shunned the microphone like Mamelodi Sundowns shuns crowds at its PSL games. Kwamanda was unseen and unheard. He stayed under the radar. As a result, he was never quoted or misquoted. He never made stupid proposals, and he certainly was never forced to withdraw his suggestions or apologize for anything. He did nothing. Clearly, in spite of the hatred visited upon him by many, Kwamanda's diplomacy dwarfs Morero's criminal diplomacy by many centimeters. Thank you for listening to this episode of Taking the Rams by the Horns. Download the MySoweten app and listen to more of my podcasts. We are on Spotify. Follow us on X at Rams by the Horns and at Soweten Live. Please send your comments to me via email on rams@ramsmabote.com. Let me know what you think of the podcast. Or better still, let me be your MC, keynote speaker, or facilitator at your next event. It is the only thing I do better than satire and sarcasm. From me, Rems Mabote, goodbye and God bless.